Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, before we get started, I just wanted to remind you about the survey that we're running. It's at forever35podcast.com/survey, and your responses will help inform upcoming content, topics, guests, and it'll just be super helpful for us if you fill it out. So please do it. It's at forever35podcast.com/survey. Okay, here's the show.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Kate Spencer.
I am Dori Shafrir.
And we're not experts.
We're just two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
Before we kicked off this podcast, I burped 17 times.
Yeah, but you know, that's not the serum's fault.
What if I was eating the serum?
That would be weird.
What if I was eating the serums and that was making me stomach
upset? Or what
upset?
If there was like an anti-burping serum and you were like, this anti-burpy serum isn't working.
Okay.
Well, anyway.
Oh, boy. Starting off normal today.
Totally. Kate, how was your week?
Well, as I mentioned to you over text message, last night I had the stream that Oprah Winfrey she was sitting at a desk with all these face oils that were like her Oprah Winfrey brand oils. They were beautiful and in a glass jar with like this little glass dropper. And she was advising me on my skincare. This is a legitimate dream I had last night. So things are going great in my life.
I think you're manifesting something.
I would 100% take skincare advice or buy Oprah brand skincare.
Yeah, ditto.
It was very, like when I woke up this morning, I was like, oh, I don't have those oils.
It was, and like you felt sad.
It was a beautiful golden like rose hip oil. It was very specific.
And I bet her skin is probably luminous in person.
Yeah, she's perfect.
Yes.
Oh boy.
Well.
Excuse me.
Okay.
I'm going to stop drinking bubbly water. I did yesterday, one thing I am kind of working on in my spare time, which is basically from like 9 to 10 o'clock at night.
Yep.
Is getting our bedroom in order, my husband and my bedroom, our bedroom, master bedroom, because it's where I just go to dump piles of stuff. It's incredibly cluttered and disorganized and really unpleasant, and it's actually kind of a beautiful room.
It is.
So,
and it's big.
It's big. So weirdly, someone added this giant bedroom onto our house long before we bought it, but it's really beautiful. So I'm trying to organize it. I just bought a planter for the room. And yesterday I went to my second favorite store, IKEA, and I bought a bunch of kind of organizational tools to get our linen closet in order. And
wait, really? You love IKEA?
Yeah, I love it.
You don't find it so overwhelming?
No, I find it like relaxing.
Hey, teach me your ways.
Well, we are very fortunate to live near, I believe, the world's largest IKEA.
What?
Possibly, it might just be America's, but yes, they recently built the largest IKEA here in Southern California. It's in Burbank, California.
Oh my God.
The parking is ample. I just love IKEA. They have family, you know, they really support kind of a progressive philosophy with their customers. Family bathrooms, you know, good spots to nurse. They have this great little kids club that my children actually like to go to, where they're very well monitored and they can watch a movie while you shop for an hour.
Okay, but let's talk about the actual act of shopping at IKEA.
Okay, I love it. I stroll through, I take notes, I measure.
Kate, will you take me to IKEA?
Oh, 100%. I truly freaking love it so much.
Okay, great.
And I do find that also all my dishes are IKEA. Lots of my furniture, like I actually really some things IKEA is not great for.
Yeah.
And other things, they're amazing. But like, for example, our dishware, all IKEA. It's chipped. Wow. But because it's on the more affordable end, I feel okay about the fact that I'm just going to use it until it shatters and then we'll go back to IKEA and get more.
And you have two kids, so dishware is going to shatter.
Oh, yeah.
So you might as well not spend a lot.
No. And they have beautiful, like beautiful bamboo salad bowls and just all sorts of great home goods, fake plants, art, frames. I could go on and on. Lighting. I love IKEA. And so I bought a bunch of, I seem frazzled, don't I? I seem a little excited about it. I just bought a bunch of things to kind of help like keep towels all in one place instead of just like this big blob of towels spilling out of this closet, and put some books in under my bedside table. So again, it's not just this overflowing book pile. So I'm assuming my room will still be messy, but messy in containers that hide the mess.
Sure.
That's what I'm going for.
Great.
I love IKEA. I love it. Also, you can find, they have a great return policy. I mean, I feel like a brand ambassador, but.
Like, when I think about going to IKEA, I feel like, I feel my shoulders rising and I have like anxiety.
I think you have to make a targeted plan. So you have to know exactly what you're looking for, the spots in your house that you're buying for, and also have those spots completely measured. So you go in and know, you're not sitting there like wondering, will this wicker basket fit on this bathroom shelf? And then having a 10-minute, you know, moment. Mm-hmm. Also, I think you have to go at, if possible, you know, don't go on a weekend at 2 p.m.
That's usually when I go.
Go first thing in the morning. Go have some pancakes with lingonberries. I forget what they're called.
Lingonberries?
Lingonberries. Eat some very affordable food. Their salmon lunch is excellent. It's like $3.
You're really selling me on
this. I freaking love IKEA. The cafeteria is amazing. They make it easy to wheel your trays around. And it's actually very easy with a family to go there, which I don't find every store is.
Yeah, that's true.
So anyway.
Wow.
I'll have some before photos, and hopefully I will this week be able to take after photos. Like,
ooh,
I have to commit to getting this done.
I'm excited for you.
I really want our bedroom to be like a peaceful place.
A sanctuary.
Yes, and not like a storage closet, which is what it feels like now.
Yeah, I hear you.
So anyway, that's what I did this week.
Well, I'm about to go on a trip.
I know. Bon voyage.
Thank you, Kate. I'm going to the East Coast, and I have been in a state of, how to put this, anxiety/paralysis about it for the last like 2 weeks because I don't know what to pack.
Okay, can I just remedy this for you for 1 second?
Yes.
I'm assuming you're trying to pack a carry-on.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Can you, if you are having a hard time and you feel like you need to bring a lot of stuff, can you check a bag? And would that just eliminate the hoops you're trying to jump through?
Not really, because it's more like, it's not about quantity of stuff.
It's about what things?
It's about what things, and it's about having to dress for a few different types of occasions, one of which is a wedding that is partially outside, and it's not going to be warm. And I'm like, I don't have shoes. I don't think I have the right... Like, I bought a bunch of new dresses. I've returned almost all of them. Like, I'm just sort of like, I don't have the things.
I know, but you don't know what the thing is.
And I don't really know what the thing is. And I also feel like, you know, we're going to be in Boston, and then we're going to be in upstate New York, and then we're going to be in New York.
Which are all places, sorry to interrupt you, that could either be 80 degrees or 40 degrees.
Totally.
Like, depending on the whim of the weather.
And so it looks like it's going to be mostly in the 50s.
Ooh.
With like clouds and chance of rain, which I think I will feel cold. And like, I don't really have sweaters anymore. Like, I just don't have the right clothes. And so this, even though this is not a huge problem. Like, I have clothes, but I have been creating this problem in my mind for the last couple of weeks.
So it really maybe isn't a problem. You've just kind of let yourself get.
I think Kate, I'm too close to it. And I can't tell.
Can I speak to you about my recent experience going to Minnesota?
Please.
I think one thing that many listeners will not be able to relate to because they don't live in Southern California, is living here makes you, you just get used to being in 70 degree weather and you throw out all your like bulky winter stuff. And then you go back into the rest of America and you're like, oh,
weather. Also weather that changes day to day.
We have a consistent, it's either hotter or less hot.
Right. And so I'm like looking at the weather predictions for the next few days for the East Coast. And I'm like, but wait, one day it's going to be like a little warmer and then it's going to be really cold. And, you know, and I'm
so
just like,
I went to Minnesota. I brought two winter coats because I wasn't sure which one to bring. And I had a lighter one and a heavier one. And I really, the second I got there, was like, oh, I didn't need the heavy one. My advice to you would be, you're going to be okay if you're cold. I think you'll be, I know you might have to be outside. Bring a scarf. Try to layer. You've got this nice leather jacket, I think, that could work.
Yeah.
If there is a way, like, really gauge how long you're going to be physically outside and see if it's something you need to be, like, it's going to be detrimental to your health. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when you're outside for a long time, you're going to catch
a
cold.
Hypothermia.
Right. But I think you might be more okay than you think you're going to be.
No, you're definitely right. And I feel so silly even having this conversation. Like, I grew up in Boston. I lived my whole life in the Northeast until 5 years ago. And now I'm such a wimp. And I've like lost all sense of reality.
You also don't even know what cold feels like anymore. So it's very, you go back into it and you're like, oh.
Yes. So that's what's been preoccupying me. I know I'm going to get there and it's going to be fine.
It is. It is. And worst case scenario, you drive to a Target or a Walmart or a secondhand store and you get yourself a big old scarf or something. You know, if there was ever a moment where you were like, wow, there's a blizzard, I didn't come prepared. You have, I think you could solve it.
I am going to major metropolitan areas.
Yeah, you'll be okay.
I'll be fine.
Or, you know, the other thing I kept telling myself was when I was panicking over Minnesota, I know people here, so I could borrow something.
Totally.
You could borrow.
Totally. All right, Kate, I feel
good
better.
Luck. I can't wait to see what outfits you come up with
for this
journey.
I'll post them.
Yeah, you should. I would really like to see them.
Kate.
Yes.
Did you know that we have a voicemail?
I do.
Yeah.
I thought you meant that we were going to listen to one. And I was like, you just surprised me.
No. Nope.
I do know that we have a voicemail. You can call us and leave us questions, comments at 781-591-0390.
You can also email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
You can find out about all the products we mentioned and more on our website, forever35podcast.com.
And you can follow us on Instagram at forever35podcast and on Twitter at forever35pod. And you can also sign up for our newsletter on our website, forever35podcast.com. Just click on mailing list.
Talk to us.
Talk to us. And we're going to take a quick break.
And we'll be back.
So, Kate.
Yes.
Recently, it was the Sephora Spring Beauty event.
That's right.
Where VIBs, which we both are.
So proud.
So proud. Got 15% off
and
their
Beauty
purchase.
Insiders got 10%.
Yeah. And we talked about this on the pod a few weeks ago.
And I did an Instagram story where I was in Sephora and I just thought, why not make some videos? And I was showing the samples I was getting while at Sephora.
Yes. And I think you blew a lot of people's minds.
I was actually really amazed at the responses I was getting, which is people asking like, oh, wait, you can really go into Sephora and ask to sample products.
So, Kate.
Yes.
Teach us your ways.
Okay. I think we talked about this a lot on the podcast. And I still feel like we haven't stressed it enough.
Yeah, I want the like the blow by blow.
Okay.
You walk into Sephora.
So here's the deal, guys. You can get samples at Sephora. You go in. This is what I did. I walked in. I had in my brain some products.
Head held high.
Oh, confident, cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, I knew kind of some products I wanted to sample, but also if you don't, that's okay. What I did, and what I do is I grab the testers. So by the end, I had a stack of 5 testers in my hands.
Okay.
Now, here's where I want to break and say that someone commented that their Sephora limited them to 3 samples. And that's never happened to me. So I did a little Googling, and there have been articles kind of written about getting samples at Sephora, which they do. And one person said who worked for Sephora that they give up to three samples to clients in each world. And so I think the employees have the stores divided into worlds. So this is how I understand it, like maybe up to three skincare samples.
And then up to three makeup samples.
Yes.
And perfume and hair care.
Now, I will say as a caveat, I just got five skincare samples. So
okay.
It might depend.
Because your head was held high.
I was so assertive and cool. So it might just depend, but yes, you can get up to three, at least we know.
Okay.
Possibly more. And also, I don't believe they allow samples of eye makeup, certain makeup products.
Okay. That makes sense.
But I was there for skincare.
Okay.
So I grabbed the testers.
Yeah.
And then I flagged down a salesperson and I just said, can I please get samples of these products? I want to try them before the sale so I know what I want to buy. You can say whatever you want. I don't think you need to justify why you want to sample anything. I think sampling is valuable because one, you're spending money and you want to know the product, the quality of the product before you get it. Two, you want to allergy test on your skin.
Yeah.
See how your skin reacts to it. And three, other people pointed this out, numerous listeners, that ultimately you're saving Sephora money because you're not buying a product and then returning it and that just goes to waste.
Yeah.
So it's actually like,
it's in their best interest.
Yes. This works for all of us. So I was there with my testers. The salesperson said, okay. They went and got little plastic containers and they lined up all my products and they just squirted. And then this salesperson did something new, which they printed out on receipt paper a very informative breakdown of the product, the price, the kind of skincare that it's good for, kind of like what you see on the Sephora website.
Sure.
This amount of stars users had given it. Yeah. And then they put that little piece of paper and the sample in a plastic bag. So I knew what was what in a tiny plastic bag. Each sample had its own individual plastic bag. And then I walked out of the Sephora without purchasing anything. And I believe that that is okay because I do shop there.
Totally.
I'm going to give them my money. And before I do, I want to be an educated consumer.
So can you tell us what you got?
Yes, I got two Belief moisturizers, the Aqua Balm and the Moisturizing Balm. I got the Tatcha Camellia Oil, makeup removing oil. Mm-hmm. And I got herbivore oil. I forget which one, but the not the blue one that everyone is crazy about, different kind of moisturizing oil for more mature skin. Mm. And then I got a Drunk Elephant serum.
Okay.
A nighttime serum. And I'm using them all. But I've also been doing, Dory, is kind of stripping down my skincare routine just so I can try out these products and see how my skin likes them. So I'm just kind of washing my face morning and night and then using them individually.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. And did you end up buying full sizes of anything that you sampled?
I bought a full size of the Belief Aqua Balm lotion. I may end up returning it.
Okay.
Only because I then started to have like a moment of regret. Should I have stayed with the Tatcha water cream, which I just recently used and liked, and I'm in the process of finishing? Should I get an oil and not use a moisturizer? I mean, I don't know. I had this kind of weird moment of regret. So I think but I really like how it makes my skin feel. It's beloved. People love their moisturizer. So I'm going to try it out when I get the product at home. Okay. And I still have a little bit of the sample left.
Oh, nice.
The samples last at least about 3 to 4 uses, I've found.
Yeah. I mean, if you were going on a short trip, you could take them with you.
Yes, for a tiny, you know, nickel-sized container, you really get, you are able to get a sense of the product, I think.
Totally.
It's really, really helpful. So I would encourage people, I'm a very shy, don't like confrontation, I'm afraid of imposing kind of person. So I would never normally ask for samples, but in the past year, I've gotten bizarrely confident when it comes to going into Sephora.
I love that.
Because like, you know, one of like a Drunk Elephant serum's like $88.
Yeah. And you don't want to shell out that cash.
Heck to the no.
If your skin ends up not liking it.
Yeah. So I just feel like it's really worth it to go in there and demand kindly some samples.
I really like that. I've never done it.
You haven't?
No.
And why not? Just because you haven't thought about it, or you feel weird?
Haven't thought about it. You know, I was never like a real product junkie. Mm-hmm. Like I would find the things that I liked and I would usually stick with them. Now, this podcast has changed that a bit. So I am trying more stuff now. But in the past, I wasn't really a like, let's see what new thing I can try. Right, it was more like, okay, all this stuff works for me. I'm going to keep using it. So, you know, that is changing. But that's probably the biggest reason why. I also don't think I quite realized that you could just ask for whatever you wanted.
Within limits. I mean, again, I don't think you're going to be able to get like mascara.
No, sure.
But yes, I know what you mean. Like grab a $100 lotion, grab some La Mer, yeah. Ask for a sample of La Mer.
Right. Yeah. I didn't realize that was like a possibility.
Yeah. I mean, you also get samples at Sephora when you check out.
Yes.
Which is lovely. This is different from that.
I always took advantage of that and take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Found some products that I really like through that service.
Me too. I like Sephora's policy. I feel like they have a very good return policy. They're very open to letting customers try the products in the store. Mm-hmm. I think we should take advantage of what they're giving us.
Yeah, I agree.
And not manipulate it, but like definitely try things before you decide to take the plunge. And like in my case, I did buy the moisturizer that I tried.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
So... Well, thank you, Sephora.
Listen, listeners, let us know about your Sephora sample experiences.
And any other stores that you feel like great skincare consumer experiences. Because I do feel like stores or companies with great customer service, like we should know about them and use them.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So please share with us. Please. We want to know.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there, the overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now, that is a savings of $15. I like that.
This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code Forever 35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With Honey Love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Our guest today is my friend, dog groomer extraordinaire, video director and comedian Jess Rona. So our guest today is my friend, Jess Rona. Jess Rona is a dog grooming expert, an Instagram star, a video director, and a comedian. And Jess runs the crazy popular Instagram Jess Rona Grooming, which has over 137,000 followers as of last night. She has numerous celebrity clientele, including Katy Perry and Tegan and Sarah, and on occasion, my 13-pound Chihuahua mix, Lucy. And she's the author of the beautiful book, Groomed, which features her dog clientele and various states of grooming. And she also directed the music video for Tegan and Sarah's song 100 Times and has been written up in the LA Times, InStyle, People, The Hollywood Reporter, Marie Claire, and Mashable, to name a few. And most importantly, she and I were on a basketball team together called the Kimmy Dribblers. Jess Rona, welcome to Forever 35.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to see you. You have a book called Groomed.
Yeah.
You are in charge of dogs' self-care.
Yes, I am.
And we are a podcast about human self-care.
Yes.
So how do you take care of yourself? And also, is there anything, because your dogs, the dogs you groom get facials. Mm-hmm. Like, they live a luxurious life when you groom them.
Yes.
Is there anything that you kind of implemented with them that you do for yourself? Is that a weird question?
No. I mean, I'm not inspired by what I do for them as far as like what I do for myself. Cause like I listen to this podcast, I love self-care. As we get older, you know, it's super important mentally, physically. I do facials regularly.
For yourself?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. I've been trying to do more masks lately, but I feel like the biggest form of self-care that I do right now is meditation. That's like my main source of self-care that I do every day.
Okay, so walk us through this practice. Is it a specific kind of meditation?
I've kind of melded two types of meditation. I feel like I'm only looking at you. Hi.
Hi.
So for me, I took this class at the David Lynch Foundation for Transcendental Meditation.
I've taken the course.
Have you?
I have.
It's bajillion dollars.
Yeah, someone gave it to me as a gift.
Oh, great. It's like ridiculous.
It is.
They let me pay it off, and it was like, you know, probably 6 or 7 years ago that I did it. So it was like, I was really, I wasn't making any money, but I just like, my husband, you know, he was my boyfriend at the time. He was like, it changed my life. I highly recommend this. You'll have this forever. It's like taking a course that you can just carry on through your life. So I do recommend it. But I took that course. And then now I feel like I need more than just repeating a mantra to calm my brain. So what I do is I looked on YouTube and I got this great Wayne Dyer meditation called I Am.
Oh.
And it's very powerful to declare I am blank, you know?
Do you follow it with a thing or you just say, yes. I am?
No, no, no. So if you're like, I am so tired, you're really manifesting that. I am so... Of course, this is happening. I'm always this. You know, like when you declare I am something, you're really manifesting it and giving it energy, giving it power. Oh, my God. I feel like so woo-woo right now. Sorry, everyone.
No, I think it's interesting.
Hit the 15 mark to skip forward if you're not into it. But I just – actually, your listeners are probably so into it.
I feel like we have meditators.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so – I just use the I am for whatever I need to be that day. My favorites are I am calm and present. Mm-hmm. And so what you do is on the inhale, you receive from the universe this thing. And on the exhale, you give to the universe. So it's like an active meditation. You're doing something. You're not just sitting there counting, you know,
eyes closed.
You breathe in and you inhale like I am calm and present. And you kind of picture the universe giving you this thing. I am calm and present, and it works. Or I am rich in abundance. I do that. I am grateful. I am okay. It's really anything that you need in that moment.
Do you do this first thing in the morning?
Yeah, I do it for 20 minutes. Every day. I hopefully do it twice a day. But I'll start the meditation with my TM. So I'll just kind of like settle, you know, for a moment, and then I will do my mantra and repeat it, which mantra is just like a word that you're assigned.
Right.
But it's basically just to get your brain to chill out.
Can I ask you about some of the logistics of meditation?
Yeah.
Because I actually really enjoy it when I do it, but I find like I wake up too late, or then my dog is mm-hmm. jumping on the couch, or mm-hmm. I feel self-conscious and my husband's walking by. Like, where's your space that you do it? How do you carve out like calm, or are those things that you just have to kind of deal with when you meditate?
I mean, you have kids. You have a way different life.
I have kids.
I don't have kids, so, you know, I have dogs, but like sometimes I can't get to it, you know, and I feel it. My body just feels like it's sluggish and I'm just like pushing through. But I try to do it. I actually wrote a little article on medium.com all about how meditation has helped my business. But that's like the biggest thing of self-care I do is meditation. Because I do, just like you, sorry to interrupt, but just I struggle with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So it's helped my anxiety so much.
Do you just feel more calm?
Yes. It helped my road rage.
Well, I was experiencing road rage on my drive here.
Tell me.
There was a BMW.
Fucking BMW.
Driving so slow in front of me in the left lane. And I was like, what are you? Then I was like, why do you have a sports car? What, me and my Honda mom car. But I really get worked up. And then Dory and I have talked about these feelings on the road. And I was like, Kate, you're going to your podcast where you like talk about not behaving this way. Chill out. And it kind of helped. Mm. But I still, my immediate feeling, I mean, do you still have it, Dory? You still get rage?
Yeah, I mean, I had to go to a doctor's appointment this morning in Beverly Hills, which meant I was driving to Beverly Hills like at the height of rush hour, you know, in the worst traffic. And I was and everyone, I was just like, oh, that person's not signaling. That person's driving slowly. And, you know, it was just sort of like, oh, this is the worst. But I try to just sort of like I try to let it go.
So how did meditation, like when, how long have you been doing this and when did you start to notice the effects in your life?
That was a weird thing that I was like, oh, I'm like fine. My chest is not, you know that feeling of anxiousness where your chest can't fully exhale, where it just feels kind of full and you can't get it to just calm down. It's that feeling of like in the center of your chest and belly, it just like felt calm. I just started noticing it probably like maybe a year ago of like, damn, I'm like cool on the road. It's like, all right, well, I've cut someone off before. You know, I'm not going to get mad at you because I've done it before and probably, or like, I'll make up a story like to feel sad for them. Like, your mom probably just died, so I can't like feel bad for you. Or like, you know, just like, I'll just say, I'll just think something sad for them or have some kind of empathy for the person. So I'm like, you know, we're all in this together, whatever. I am struggling with my husband driving. I'm from LA. So I've had road rage my whole life. You know, I was driving since I was like, you know, 15 and a half. Like, my husband is the slowest driver. He's the most patient driver. He drives like an 86-year-old. I have to clench my fists and like focus on something else so I don't tell him how to drive. That's something that meditation hasn't helped.
But has meditation helped you in your relationship? Like, kind of
how we meditate together. So he's the one that taught me about meditation. Sometimes if we don't feel like it, he'll be like, should we meditate? And I'll be like, yes. Even though I like never feel like doing it.
But then after you do it, you feel better.
Oh, yeah. And even like towards the middle or end of the meditation, I want more. And I'm like, damn, I don't feel like waking up yet. Like, I feel like this is so comfortable. And it's almost like I was thinking about it the other day. I was doing a meditation and I'm just going to own it. kind of like, it's like, you know, when you eat something sweet and like releases something in your brain, like it felt like I was eating something sweet when I was like meditating. Cause it was like so satisfying for that sleepiness inside of me. Like it woke me up. I didn't meditate today though.
Oh.
And I feel it. When I don't meditate in the morning, I'm like cranky and tired.
How did it help your business?
So at the end of the meditations, I send gratitude and love to my clients. And after a meditation, you're just chill. You're just calm. And so when I'm working with dogs, you know, dogs don't want to be groomed. You know, yes, my clients are calm because they come to me once a month. They know me. It's not scary for them. But there are dogs that are not calm. And when I'm calm, it calms them down. So it's helped me. I also love CBD oil. I take that every day.
Yeah.
Jess,
tell me.
I am dying to know how you got into dog grooming.
Well, I started off as a dog bather deep in Reseda at PetSmart. There is no PetSmart there anymore. But my mom had a bunch of cats growing up. I never had dogs, but she would have to go to this PetSmart to get this specific cat food because her cats were picky and she needed this cat food. Also, that's
only
just my mom.
Only at the PetSmart in Reseda.
Yes, that is my mom.
Right. She cared for her cats.
No, but she's intense like that. Like if she tries like a new chip or something, I have to go find her only that chip and she has to find it on Amazon. It's like she's obsessed with that chip. Anyway, hi, Judy.
Hi, Judy.
Judy Rona.
Hi, Judy.
From Brooklyn. Okay, so I went to PetSmart with her. There was a help wanted sign and it was like there was a bunch of job openings. You know, I could be a cashier. I could work with the birds. I could work with, you know, the amphibians or whatever. Amphibians?
I think that's what they
are. Yeah, sure.
Frogs.
Work with the frogs and lizards. Or they also had a dog bather. And I was like, ooh, dog bather. That's fun. And so I started bathing dogs.
Did you think that you wanted to get into working with animals?
Never. Like, I wanted to be an actress. I had big dreams of being an actress. That's what I really wanted to do. I still want to do it. It was just like a way to make money, really. Mm-hmm. And
how old were you?
I was 18.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I needed some money to buy a car and just to like live my life. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, I'm going to just work here.
So you started? Bathing dogs.
So I started bathing dogs. I was terrible at it. you know, I would bathe big dogs on the floor so my feet would be wet all day. Ugh. I just didn't know what I was doing, you know. None of us did. The grooming industry has evolved like crazy since I started. But I was fortunate enough to have some mentors show me things over the years. You know, this is a schnauzer cut. This is how you clip nails. This is how you do pads. This is how you handle this kind of coat. This is how you demat, you know. And so I would just look at the other groomers and copy them.
And there's no, like, cosmetology school for dog groomers?
There is, yeah. Okay. There's a few. I haven't been certified by, like, the International Pet Groomers Association. And then there's another one. Obviously, I'm, like, so not – I want to be, but it's so much work and it's very difficult to get testing because you need to provide not only the dog, but the table and the tools. And you have to like go drive up to like Davis, California. And like, oh, wow. It's like okay. Such a hard thing right. to do. It's not easy. You can't just have someone come and like give you a test.
Okay. So you're like learning all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when
I was also really bad for a long time. I was a really bad groomer. I was not good.
Did you enjoy it even though you were bad at it?
Sometimes.
Okay. So when did the light bulb go off?
What was the transition?
Okay. So after I moved to New York to do comedy and to like, I was in love with this guy and I just wanted to get out of LA. So I moved to New York and I stopped grooming and I just waited tables. I also was a waitress for a long time. And so I was like, I don't want to wait tables anymore and I want to move back to LA. I'm done with New York. And so I was just like, I'm just going to get back into dog grooming and I want to get really good. I want to get really good at comedy and improv and I want to get really good at dog grooming. So that's like, that was my life. I would take seminars, you know, go to classes, study the AKC book, watch videos. I reached out to really fancy groomers and emailed them photos so they can give me feedback. I was like a hustler trying to get good.
I have a question. What is the moment or like the burst of confidence where you're just like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to reach out to people. Like, I'm going to put myself out there. Was that a conscious choice you made or did you just felt it?
I think it wasn't confidence. I think it was desperation. I think I was at a low in my life. I didn't have a car. I didn't have money. I didn't have a place to stay. I was staying with my mom. I like basically came back to LA and started all over. I got really into UCB. It was like so
improv theater.
Yeah. You know, and that's where I got all my great friends that I still have. Yeah. It's how I met my husband. Like it's, you know, and then just, yeah, I don't think it was confidence. I think it was just like, this is what you do if you want to get really good.
But you were, you even if it was desperation, you were still brave. Because I feel like when I have felt desperate, oftentimes I'll clam up, but you just went for it.
Yeah, I was super miserable.
So when did it become easy? When did you, or maybe it's never easy, but when did you start to feel like you mastered it?
It's actually easy now for the most part. I think I just was able to develop my eye. And with each part of the dog, I have little goals and little things like I know I want cylindrical front legs, you know, that are parallel from the neck down. I know that's what I want. So what can I do to create that? So this is what I teach because I teach grooming students. You know, what can I do to achieve this goal? I have techniques for achieving this goal that I will teach you and then you can go off on your own and do what you do, which is kind of what I did. I took bits and pieces from so many different groomers. I also entered myself in competitions, which was so scary. And from in the competition world, the grooming competition world, there are judges and teachers and people from all over the United States and the world that are like amazing groomers. I mean, these are like show groomers. I look up to them. I'm nothing compared to them. Even at this point, they are amazing people and groomers. And so they're the ones I can reach out to. I also was like front row at every grooming competition, watching the top level competitors. How do they hold their shears? What shears do they use? What like, you know, just every little detail I can soak up so I can get inspired by and copy them.
And then, okay.
Like so, that's so valuable for like anybody who wants to do anything.
Totally.
It's like you have to put in the time.
Yeah. But I think it's also the desperation thing is really interesting.
Yeah.
It kind of forces you to be creative and take risks because you really feel like you have nothing to lose. Yeah.
You have nothing to lose. And like I was single. I didn't have a ton of friends. I was just in this like underdog phase in my life where I was just like, face pushed against the glass, looking at all this stuff I want. I feel like I'm still like that. You know, I'm just like, look at everything I want. And I want to do everything I can do to get it, you know?
Yeah.
Because I was living in Granada Hills with my mom. It was really a hard time.
And you were, how old were you at this point?
I was like 30 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I gotta, you know, change my life.
So was there one client that kind of was the one that opened up doors
yes,
for you?
Matt Marr. Do you guys know Matt Marr?
I don't know Matt Marr.
He is the host of a podcast that I wish I knew of that I could promote right now. So I started working at a grooming salon. First of all, I was fired from two grooming shops, which is the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm such an entrepreneur. Don't hire me. I'm the worst person to work for you because I'm super opinionated and difficult. But Matt Marr, he was my first client. I would groom dogs in my kitchen, but I kept one client. He had Sophie the Schnauzer, who recently passed away, but he was my first client, and he believed in me. Also, Johanna and Eric Appel were my first clients. I would groom their dog in my kitchen, and Chooch. So I had like three little clients that I would like, you know, I would make a little bit of money. My poor roommate had to have like dog fur in her kitchen, which, you know, God bless, love and light. Thank you, Molly. Yeah, those were the people, the very first people that believed in me. I was just like, you know, and Susie Barrett.
And how did you start to accrue clientele? Was it just word of mouth?
I was struggling for a really long time. I still have the flyers I passed out at the dog park. I was passing out flyers. I was trying to poach old clients. I was just really struggling to get anybody to come over. And then the Instagram hit, and then everything changed.
So when were you just like, I'm going to start? You were making these videos anyway, right? Or did you just have an idea one day to start slow motion Instagramming dogs?
Yeah, it was nothing ever was planned. I was never. So it was another desperate moment in my life. I had just gotten fired from a job I was working at for 5 years. And it was really hard for me because I really loved the person that I worked for. And I felt like it was like a breakup kind of.
Yeah.
And like, we don't talk anymore. And it's like sad to me. But yeah, I was just really lonely. I had lonely in a business sense. Like I had not a ton of clients. You know, my life, it was just, you know, I was not getting on any UCB teams. I was just, I know, eye roll. I was just in a really sad time. I remember my friend was like, oh, I just came from Allison Jones's office and I had a great audition. And oh my God, can you believe she cast me in this thing? And I thought of you because I know how badly you want to get into her office. And I was like, cool. Anyway, I'm going to go back to my garage and groom dogs. And I'm like super miserable. And, yeah, so it was just out of desperation and antsiness that I started making those videos. I was like, I just want to be creative. I need to create something, you know? I need to do something fun and creative. So I just started making those videos. And honestly, the videos were inspired by my friend Eric Pringle. We had like a dog party at my friend's house, at Bailey's house.
Uh-huh.
And we tried to line up like six dogs in a row. And it was really hard to line up six dogs to pose them all for a photo. And so my friend Eric made a speedy video to it. Like, you know, this dog walks away, this person puts the dog back. It's hard to explain. But he made like a time lapse, like a quick video of like this thing and put like funny, whimsical music, like do-do-do-do-do-do. Like it was just like funny to me. And so I texted him and I was like, how'd you put that music to that video? And so he told me of this app. This is before I figured out iMovie.
Right.
But it was just this app that that put music to videos. And I was like, oh, shit. And then I got my iPhone 6 and it had slow-mo. And then I was like, ooh, I'm going to like, I want to make these videos. It just, I don't know. I didn't think about it.
Did you think anyone would pay attention?
No.
Did you think you would become a viral Instagram
star? Absolutely not. I was in my garage. I'm still in my garage. I'm trying to move out of the garage, but that's like another story.
Yeah, that's – well, you are an entrepreneur, so you'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
And what's it like – because I feel like we have such a weird, warped view of like social media fame. What is it like when all of a sudden – articles are being written about you and celebrities want to bring their dogs to you and you're suddenly in the very public eye in that way for something you've been working at for two decades.
Yeah. It was just surreal, exciting, scary, all of it. You know, it's just like, really? You know, I remember I sent one of the very first slow-mo videos I did was to this song, 10,000 Emerald Pools by Bourne's. Do you know that song?
Yeah.
It's like the most epic song. Should I play it really quick? Sammy, cue it up. I'm just kidding. And I sent it to the owner of the dog. And he was like, holy shit, this is amazing. This needs to go viral. I want to put this on like whatever. Like he was the one that I was like, really cool. I'm so glad you like it. Okay, bye. You know? And but then I started making them more, and then I started getting like more artistic with them, and like I would put more effort and intention into the videos. And like it became like pure joy for me to make them.
And you started getting clients from them.
Oh yeah. Like crazy. A tidal wave.
So we live in Los Angeles. There's a lot of rich people here. There's a lot of famous people here. There's a lot of people who spend a lot of money on their dogs. As a groomer, does that present its own set of unique challenges?
Yeah, that's such a great question.
Thank you.
You know, I feel like a pioneer in my field because there are no other groomers like me right now. There are groomers that I know that are famous in my world that, you know, everyday people don't know who Irina Pinkusevich is, but she's like one of the best groomers on the planet.
Great name. Also.
Right. We call her Pina. She is my one of my favorite groomers. But she, you know, she's famous in the grooming world, but now I'm becoming well known in the world. Mm-hmm. And to tell someone I'm going to charge you $250 to groom your dog is unheard of. You pay $50 to get whoever from wherever to give your dog a haircut. Mm-hmm. But I find that I'm like a pioneer where I'm going to pave the way and elevate the entire grooming industry and show everyone that I'm not the only artist out there. A lot of groomers are artists. It is kind of scary because I'm uncomfortable asking for that much money and people, you know, and I'm expecting people to be like, fuck you. And like, can I say that on this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm expecting for people to say no, you know, but everyone's like, oh, okay, great.
So you raised your prices.
Yes.
Because you are so in demand and because you feel like you're providing a service that people can't just get anywhere.
Yes. I am so different than most groomers. I consider myself to be an artist, and I also give the dog an experience of calm and like they're pampered and there are no cages. It's a completely different experience to come to me than to go to any other place.
I have to say, because I have brought my dog to you, you also taught me how to kind of approach my dog, why she was, yeah. I mean, you also are very intuitive when it comes to dogs.
Yeah.
And how to behave around them and why, for example, my dog rolls over and pees when she kind of gets nervous, excited. And, you know, it was like the way you handle them is very personal. I don't know how to describe it. It's intuitive.
No,
it's
intuitive.
Empathetic.
Yeah. That's so true because I'm struggling right now with my students. Because a lot of my grooming is intuitive. Because after you do something for 20 years, you can do it intuitively and you could do it however, and it's like, it's not as hard. But for a newbie or someone who's just starting out with dogs and it's not intuitive, it's really hard to explain that. So that is, I feel like it is intuitive grooming.
What do you think in general is the biggest mistake people make with their dogs, or the thing that they think they understand about their dogs, but they actually don't?
Ooh, wow. I don't know. I do find that people have big energy with their dogs. Hi, oh my God, you look so cute. That kind of big, high energy is really not great for dogs. I'm guilty of it, you know.
You've got two very cute dogs.
Thank you. I actually just got a sign I put it on my door that says, shh, calm vibes only.
Oh,
no
wow.
One has read the sign. So I still, and I feel really awkward being like, can you have calm energy, please? Because my next place will be a place where people can't just walk in while I'm grooming. Because, you know, if you come in with big energy with your dog, it erupts them in like excitement.
And all the other dogs pick up on it too,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, so the biggest advice I can give to people is just be calm with your dog. Not like, you know, frozen and awkward, but just like calm and confident.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor article makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article. And I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters. And then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs. Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
So before we started chatting on the record, you were telling us a little story about Katy Perry's dog.
Yeah.
Can you repeat that story? Because it's kind of great.
Wait, just oh, how
James,
I met Katy Perry?
The James.
The James.
Oh, okay. Can you tell that? Yes. Totally. Okay, totally. Great. So Katy Perry did Carpool Karaoke. And she pitched this idea to them to come to my place and pick up Nugget as part of like their drive. It all got cut out. I thought it was going to change my career. And I remember sitting on the couch with Eric, like waiting in anticipation for my big debut.
Oh, no.
And then nothing happened. And then Eric was like, babe, you haven't made it in this town, so you've been cut out of something. So welcome to the club. Because my husband's an actor. And so he's been cut out of probably
he
a lot
gets
of things.
It. So yeah, they, he gets
so
it.
Katy and James Corden and her dog Nugget did come to you.
So I scheduled 5 poodles that day because I wanted poodles everywhere.
Oh, my God.
I got my house cleaned. I cleaned the house all weekend. I like prepped so hardcore for this. It was such a whirlwind. The whole crew pulled up in front of my house. Oh my God, I had the most embarrassing moment because I didn't realize they were filming. So I burst out of my front door and I'm like, hi. And they were filming. And then her assistant's like, hold on just a sec. She put her finger up and I was like, oh, okay, shit. And like awkwardly backward, like went back inside my house and shut the door. But anyway, they mic'd me quick. They had me sign a release form quick. They were like, okay, everybody. And they had the whole crew come in with like 3 huge cameras. And it was just chaos for like 10 minutes. Katy came in. James came in. I handed James Pancake this tiny poodle. And he got scared because he's like, is this dog going to bite me? She's like this tiny old 15-year-old poodle. That was really funny because I think he's a little afraid of dogs.
Aww.
I was like, no, it's okay. He's so sweet. And so they came in and then Katy was there, you know, looking super glam. It was just crazy and surreal. I was trying to like act cool and like, oh yeah, this is normal for me.
and we should say Katy Perry, it's not like she pops in all the time.
Never.
Okay.
She's never been to my house.
Right.
That was the one time.
You groom her dog at her house.
Her dog Nugget. Yeah.
Great name for a dog.
Nugget. She looks like a chicken nugget.
Aww.
Yeah. And so Katie's like, ooh, so Jess does these videos of dogs blowing in the wind. So I lowered my table. Katy got on the table and she's like, blow wind on me. And so I blew wind on her. I blew wind on James Corden.
Oh my God.
It was so fun. I was like, okay, I wish I got a video of it. I wish I did a slow-mo of her, but I didn't get it. But I did get a still photo of her. And then they were gone. And like, that was it. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? And then, it was so fun and surreal.
And then
was it really devastating when it didn't? Like, yeah, you just had this feeling of like, I'm about to be on national TV.
Yes, I'm about to be like, this chick gets like 30 million views on YouTube. Like, I was like, this is going to change my career. But then, yeah, they were just, you know, driving around. I was like, okay, well, I know where they're driving. I was watching the thing. I was like, okay, that's near my house, I think. And just like waiting. And then, no, yeah, it didn't happen. Guys, it's all good.
It is all good.
I mean, I'm fine.
It's what a weird world when like Hollywood and your business collide, which totally. I know happens on the regular because we live in LA, but
it's crazy though.
Yeah. I mean, that feels
It's crazy how dog grooming has brought me to my dream of acting.
I know. I think that's so interesting.
And creating.
It's brought you closer to, yes. I mean, it's kind of like all your passions just kind of came together. You made them all come together.
Yes. It's shocking. It's beautiful.
You are on your feet all day.
Yes.
What do you do at the end of the day to kind of like nurture yourself?
That's a great question. I got some custom insoles made for
good,
my feet
good work.
From Dr. Phil, my chiropractor. he's so great.
Gotta do that.
Yeah. I take hot baths. I just got the Lush bath bombs. Mm. Have you guys tried those?
No, I never have, but people rave about them.
They're great. I got this like sandalwood vanilla one that was really good. Yeah, we haven't talked about like self-care products.
I mean, if you have any. No, I feel like your journey is more interesting.
Oh, also, you know what else I wanted to mention is therapy. My therapy is self-care.
Yes.
That shit changed my life.
We are big proponents.
Yes. I'm a different human because of therapy.
Yeah. I mean, it's – and do you still go?
Yes.
Once a week, twice a week?
Not twice a week. Okay. Oh, geez. I try to go twice a month.
Okay.
But if I'm having some shit, I'll go once a week. Yeah.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
You make your own almond milk.
Yes. You're so funny.
I've had it. It's delicious.
I'm now brewing my own booch. Kombucha.
You also roast your own coffee beans.
I don't do that as much anymore, but it's not hard.
But food is like a passion for you. Mm-hmm. But like the preparation part, like you were making your own kombucha. Is that calming for you? Is that self-care for you?
Actually, yes and no. It's stressful because it's a continuous brew and now it's fermenting really quickly and it's stressing me out because it gets too sour too quickly. So it was calming and now it's stressful. I need to bottle it quicker. But the almond milk is so easy to make. It's not hard. And I'm so spoiled because store-bought almond milk is not good to me.
It just stresses me out, the thought of like milking these almonds.
Oh, God. I have a life hack.
What is it?
Okay. So – like I mentioned on Natch Butte, I follow Lee from America Allison Wu. So follow them on Instagram. Shout out to Lee. She actually sent me a video and thanked me. So I was like, oh, I love you.
I started following Lee from America because you mentioned her podcast.
If you want to make a nut milk in your, do you have a Vitamix?
I just got one this year.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay, Vitamix will change your life. Especially if you want to make soups and milks and stuff. Okay, so life hack. Get cashew butter. Get almond butter. Get coconut butter. Put a scoop of coconut butter in your Vitamix with hot water. You got milk.
Oh, really?
Yes, girl. Put some cinnamon in there. Put some honey. It's milk. And you sweeten your coffee with that. So what Lee from America does is she puts a scoop of coconut butter in with her matcha and hot water.
Right.
And it creates – I had it this morning. It was delish. Do cashew butter. Put a glob in your Vitamix with hot water and it's milk. It's cashew milk.
That is amazing.
Well, you just changed
my
life.
No strainer, no nothing. It's just, yeah. You know what else changed my life? Jen Sincero.
Who's that?
She wrote You Are a Badass at Making Money.
Have
you read that?
I have You Are a Badass on my bedside table, and I haven't cracked it too deep.
You Are a Badass at Making Money, in my opinion, is much better than You Are a Badass.
And how did it change your life?
Oh, I mean, it changed the way I look at things. It changed my whole perspective on money and being courageous, just so many different things.
And knowing your value?
Yeah, it's like that being uncomfortable to charge what I charge. She says, you know, you can't really make a change in your life unless you're uncomfortable all the time. Yeah. It's not hard, it's uncomfortable.
We got to get
this is good for
us. We've got to read that. Yeah.
I just met Jen Sincero too. I'm like such a geek.
Oh, you did? How did you meet her?
She did a little a Q&A downtown. And I gave her one of my books.
Oh.
Yeah. She's so cool. And you know what else I did? Like, I'm really insane about her. Once I get my mind stuck on something, as you know.
Just like your mom.
What do you mean?
Like Judy Rona. You said once I get my, like once she gets obsessed with a chip.
Oh my God, that is right. Okay. Well, yeah, I'm just like her. once I get my mind set on something, it's like happening. So for the most part, you know, God willing. Anyway, but I just type in Jen Sincero in the search bar of my podcasts and I listen to all her podcast interviews.
Aww.
You could do that with Brene Brown, with Liz Gilbert,
that's smart,
with any
actually.
Person
yeah.
that you
really
want to just hear them talk. Because all I do is listen to you guys. I just listen to podcasts all day as I work, podcasts, audiobooks. And so, you know, can you listen to that when you write?
No, I can't.
Yeah, because you need to
music.
Focus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm just really lucky because I'm doing a physical act and it's like kind of mindless.
Yeah.
So if I don't want to just think about all the things I need to do, I need to like focus or just listen to something. Like sometimes I just space out when I listen to too much music.
Wow. I'm glad that this podcast, you have to listen to yourself while you groom.
Yeah. No, yeah. I can't. But I was saying to you, and I'll tell you, Dory, that you guys have very soothing voices. And so it's really nice to listen to your podcast.
Oh,
plus,
thank
like,
you.
When I listen to your podcast, I just feel like I'm your friend too. Like, I'm just like, oh,
you are.
Thank you. But you know what? Like, I'm just like, oh, this is just like friends talking about their little vulnerable things.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think that's a nice note to end on.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you came in today.
Thank you so much.
Can you tell our listeners where they can find you in the internet world or if they want to approach you about grooming their dog?
Oh, yeah.
We're in waitlist mode right now, right?
You know what? If you email jessronagrooming@gmail.com and say you heard me on this podcast and you want me to groom your dog, just mention this podcast and maybe I can work something out.
Oh,
whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Let's do it.
All
and
right.
You I'm ready to expand and I'm ready to grow.
Okay.
Thank you, Jen Sincero.
Yeah.
You can find me at jessronagrooming on Instagram. I'm never on Twitter. And my book, Groomed, is on Amazon. You can just search Jess Rona's Groomed on Amazon.
Yeah. And it's beautiful. I'm stroking it right
and
now.
And please write a review of my book and this podcast.
Yes. That, it does
thank
really
you,
help
Jess.
With all the algorithms.
Oh, I know. I know.
You know. Jess Rona, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jess.
Thanks, you guys.
Dory, isn't Jess pretty rad?
She's amazing. And if I didn't think my dog was going to like bite her head off, I would have her groom Bo.
She is a masterful groomer. Her book is awesome. I would recommend everybody get a copy of Groomed.
Yeah.
Dory.
Yes.
Let's revisit these intentions.
I would love to.
Do you know what I almost did? I almost called them intenties. And then I was like, I'm turning into a monster. Stop it.
Your intention last week was... you were going to work on your project.
Yeah, and I did it throughout the week.
Oh my gosh.
I haven't picked it up. I actually started to dip into the self-doubt zone.
Oh no.
I know. But I'm going to hop back to it tomorrow and just try to keep plugging away so that I have a thing.
I love that.
Thanks.
My intention last week was to chat with my parents a little bit more because, you know, my mom broke her arm. And I have been.
Good work.
Yeah, I've been FaceTiming them.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Good daughtering.
Thanks.
What is your intention for this week?
Well, as discussed previously, I'm traveling this week. So I feel like when I travel, I always have a similar intention, which is to just try to be calm about things that are not in my control, which with traveling is, as we've discussed with your, you know, trip to Minneapolis that got postponed, that's especially hard to do. But you managed to do it. And so I'm just going to try and like be chill. That's my intention.
A Zen traveler.
Zen traveler.
Are you bringing any special skincare? Oh, are you going to mask on the plane?
Yeah, I think I am. I think I am. I think I'm going to do it.
Yes.
So.
Will you take some videos for the Instagram?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, my God. Mask on the plane. Mask on the plane.
I mean, maybe I'll make my husband mask on the plane.
Oh, that's. I'm
I don't know. Anything could happen.
You never know what's going to happen when you're in the sky.
Exactly.
This week for me, I need to get real about sleep. My sleep has been out of whack. Hmm. I'm going to bed too late. I'm going to bed at midnight every night. And it's just way too late. It's just hard. It's a little bit hard because my oldest child is like getting into bed at 9 and then there's a lot of stuff that needs to kind of get done after they're in bed. And then, you know, it's hard to kind of wind down.
Yeah.
So, and, but I'm really tired. And then our whole house is like just running late in the morning. And so I really need to be more disciplined about getting to bed, even just at 11:30, even like that 30. It's like once I hit midnight, then all hell breaks loose.
Kate, I'm with you on this, especially now that I'm not working in an office.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, and my husband's on hiatus. So if he were at work, he would be getting up at a normal working person time. But because he's not, and I've been going to bed too late.
Yeah, I noticed you've been texting me later.
Yeah, and I just like, I need to just like shut it down.
It's hard too. Like I'm a person who likes to stay up. Like before I had children, I was a stay up till 1 a.m., 1:30 person.
Oh.
Like it just my, that's just kind of how my, the rhythm that my body was
on. Sure.
So I can feel the pull of the night.
Oh. Well.
Hello.
All right. Well, I look forward to checking back with you
likewise
on this.
I hope you have a great trip.
Thank you.
Well, friends, that's the end for today.
That wraps things up.
Let's say goodbye.
Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Kate Spencer and Dori Shafrir and produced and edited by Sammy Junio.
As always, please leave us Apple Podcast reviews. It helps peeps find us.
Next week, I am going to be talking to my bestie from growing up.
The first bestie interview of Forever 35.
First bestie interview of Forever 35. So, you know, I know a lot of you like the interview I did with my sister. So hopefully you like the interview I do with my bestie. All right.
We'll find out.
Okay. Bye.